What's up, y'all? It's your boy Mondo, aka Chancleta Mangu, and this is We Talking About Games, episode 3. And man, it's been a couple of weeks since the last episode, as you could obviously tell. And I guess just to give you guys a little tidbit on that, I've been knee deep in a project at work that has been taking up a whole lot of time at the office and a lot of time outside of the office and a ton of mind share all the freaking time, because it is like the number one thing on my mind for the past like month. It's probably the biggest thing I've ever worked on at a job as far as like scope of the project and importance that it has for the organization I work for. And so I've just been filled with anxiety over the past couple of weeks. And so when I'm busy, I can't record. And even when I'm not busy, I just do not have the mental power to record. And so very, very sorry that I've been on such a long hiatus. I think it's been like at least, I think it's been 2-3 weeks, actually. Three, possibly today. And I'm hoping that I don't have to take another hiatus like this again. Project's kind of moved on to the next phase, which is a little lighter. As you know, the project is completely done a month from now. And so hopefully I don't have to take any more breaks over the next month, and definitely after the project is up, we're going to be smooth sailing from there. But definitely want to apologize for the hiatus over the past couple of weeks. So we're going to get into a couple of things today. When I opened up the document that I had originally made when I was going to record this episode a few weeks ago, there's just a few topics that I want to touch on because some of them are just interesting. I just want to say a few words about them, and then we'll get into what the topics are for today's actual episode. But I think before we get into those things, I kind of wanted to like get into like a introduction structure for the show, like not just me saying what's up and diving right into it. I think there's, you know, like it's a gaming podcast, and I think a lot of what we're going to talk about in here is like news and stuff, but I think it'd be fun to talk about what games I'm playing too, right? So I guess to kick things off, what games am I playing right now? I was playing over the past couple of weeks during that hiatus, I was playing Metroid Dread. I decided a few weeks ago that I was going to stop buying new games, because I just keep adding to my backlog. I buy a new game and I add to my backlog. I bought Dragon's Dogma 2 when it dropped, and I put another game to the backlog because of that. And so I told myself, no more new games, unless it's a 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, incredible must-play game, I'm not buying that day one. I'm gonna catch it on sale another time. One, save me some money, and two, leave me some room to get to my backlog. So the first game that I got to in my backlog was Metroid Dread, and I beat it a few days ago. I think I beat it, today's Friday, I beat it Tuesday night or Monday night, something like that. Beat it in about 10 hours, nine hours and some change. And man, that was a good game. I'm a Metroid fan. I grew up playing Metroid on NES, SNES. Wasn't too into it. Not that I wasn't too into it then, but I was still very young at that time. And it wasn't until Metroid Fusion on Game Boy Advance that Metroid really, really did it for me. I loved just the traversal of that game, the puzzling and all that stuff, and just the powers and the overall approach of the style of Metroid. And so I was very excited to play Metroid Dread. It's a game that's been in my backlog for a year, almost 2 years. Because I found it on OfferUp for $30, and I was like, I'm buying this. I was like, I'm not gonna play it right now, but I can't pass up a $30 physical Nintendo game. That's a steal in my book. And so I bought it then, and finally got to it now. And man, that game was really, really good. Beautiful game. I don't have an OLED Switch, but you can still tell how beautiful the game is. I only played it portably. I have an OLED television, and I really wanted to play it on my television, but if out of 100% of Nintendo Switch playtime, I play my Nintendo Switch portably like 80% of the time. I don't have a Switch to play it on my television. As much as I like doing that sometimes, I think, you know, there's some games that I definitely do it with, like Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Tears of the Kingdom. That was definitely a game I enjoyed playing on my television. But there's something about the portability of the Nintendo Switch that I really, really like. I'm a portable guy. That's why I got a Steam Deck. That's why I got a Nintendo Switch. I have a backbone for my phone. I really love playing games portably. That's why I was so excited when the Steam Deck came out. That's why I'm so excited that the Asus ROG Ally and the Legion Go, the Lenovo Legion Go, I think Lenovo makes it, that those things are becoming more prominent, because that's how I love to play video games. And so I played it mostly, portable, and it was a great experience. I loved it. Loved the buildup of you getting powers, because there was just multiple layers of that, and I really, really enjoyed that. I love the variety of enemies and the different approaches that you had to take to fight them. I love the mini boss battles; those were really, really good. I guess I could say that my only gripe is funny, because it's part of the reason why I like Metroid in general, is like the puzzling structure of how the maps are set up. I really, really like that. But my one gripe with this game is how difficult it was to figure out sometimes where you would go next. Like, cool, I got this power. Where is this power taking me? Like, I remember some places where I could use it, and I remember I got a specific power, and I ran around for like what was an hour and a half trying to figure out where to go next with this power. And everywhere I was going was kind of just unlocking a shortcut or unlocking some extra missiles or getting another item, but it wasn't unlocking the next step. And it literally took me like an hour and a half to figure out where the next step in, like, to progress the story and get to the next area was. And one, I thought that, oh man, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just not smart enough. But I do remember when the game came out, that was actually a lot of people's main gripe with the game, of like, man, just wish it was a little more clear on where to go next. And so that's really my only gripe with the game. I loved the game all the way through. It was fun to play. Other than that day where I spent that hour trying to figure out where to go, I was just annoyed. I was like, what the hell? Like, where the fuck am I supposed to go? Other than that hour, the game was massively enjoyable. And even that hour had its moments, because I was unlocking new areas and shortcuts and things of that nature that was just making traversing around the map a lot easier. And so, yeah, I think for me, the game is an 8.5 out of 10. Would have given it a 9 if it wasn't for that traversal nonsense. And I don't think it's a 10. I think it's a 9 out of 10. To be honest with you, I can't remember enough about Metroid Fusion to tell you whether or not I like it more than that, or whether or not I like it more than the original Metroid. But it's definitely up there as a great Metroid game. And again, it's beautiful. I definitely gotta do another run and play that run on my OLED to see how let those colors really, really pop. And so that's what I've been playing over the past couple of weeks. That's been like my commute to work game and stuff like that. Another reason why I love portable gaming consoles. But more recently, with the news of the Fallout TV show airing, we'll get into a little bit of that later. I was kind of excited to jump into Fallout 3, which is a game I bought on Steam a few months ago. It was on sale, and I was like, oh, this is a classic. Let me buy it. My introduction to Bethesda was Skyrim, so I didn't play any Bethesda games before that. And I know that that's kind of like crazy, because there's some really great games. But man, I've just played so many games that you can't play them all. Like, there's so many games. And so Fallout 3 is one that falls into that category. And I'm playing it now. I'm like maybe like 5 hours into it. And I don't think I want to beat it before starting the show, but I want to get to know the world a little bit so that I can enjoy the show as a fan or as just somebody who's knowledgeable about that world, versus somebody who may just be watching that show because they got a subscription to Amazon Prime and they're like, oh, another TV show, end of the world stuff, that's cool. And so I kind of want to be part of that group. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to feel that FOMO, which is a very terrible gamer quirk of we are fucking victims of FOMO all the time, which is why we buy new games all the time and we end up with endless backlogs. So that's what I'm playing right now. I actually just put it down before starting this episode, because after the first hour or two, that was kind of like, not that it was slow, I was just like, man, like, why am I using all my heals just to fight a few people? Like, I got no bullets. Like, it was, The game was just hard, felt harder than it needed to be. And I knew it wasn't that hard. Like, I'm like, the game can't be this hard. I must be doing something wrong. And now I'm starting like some side missions that are helping me scavenge, helping me build up. Now I got some money. Now I got some ammo. I got some guns, yada, yada. And I feel like now I can hit that main road again and start towards that main quest a little bit more. So I'm playing that right now. And I think I'm going to play that for a little bit. I'm not sure what the next game is that I'm going to scratch off the backlog. But, how could I forget? Persona 5 Royale. I'm back to playing that after putting down Dragon's Dogma, after finishing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I guess that's another one I should bring up. Since the last episode, I've beaten Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I guess that's a segue into like the next part of what I kind of want to do with this introduction stuff is like, what's some other content that I'm working on? And since I beat Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I don't want to talk about that too much because I can go on about that for days. I'm going to make a review video for Rebirth. And all I got to say is, oh my God, what a fucking game. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to replay it. I can't wait to dive back into that world again. But I'm not going to do that for a few months. Got to scratch some games off my list. So I definitely beat that. I played Dragon's Dogma a little bit between last episode and this episode too. So there's been quite a bit of gaming. I'm going to get into Dragon's Dogma in a little bit too, because that's something I wanted to talk about in the episode. So the topics for today's episode is Hellblade 2, finally getting its marketing run, and we got a little more information on that. I want to talk about the Fallout TV series and just everything that's surrounding that right now. And want to dive a little bit into Star Wars Outlaws, which got a trailer earlier this week. But before we dive into that, I want to dive into the four things that were already on this outline for an episode that I ended up not being able to do a few weeks ago. The first one is PlayStation 5, PS5 Pro rumors, and PSVR 2 stock is on hold. All I got to say about that is we do not need a PS5 Pro. I think that's so freaking ridiculous. I have a PS5 box in my closet that has 8K on it, and I can't imagine that they're already, just a few years into this console's life cycle, getting the most out of the PS5. That's a joke to me. Especially with, are there even any first party PlayStation exclusives coming out this year? And you're already gonna put out another console that is supposed to do what exactly? And then as far as the PSVR 2, I knew that was gonna be a failure. It was way too expensive and not enough first party support. I have no idea who in their right mind, who's not a big PlayStation fan, who in their right mind would go and buy that over a Quest 2, now a Quest 3. I just don't know who. Like, it just no. I couldn't believe it. It was dead on arrival for me. And seeing that news having come up when it did was just confirmation of that. Another thing that came up a few weeks ago was Steam is rolling out a family sharing program, and that is so exciting. I currently share libraries with my younger brother. He has access to my library, I have access to his library, but with the way it currently works is if he's playing Steam, I can't play anything from his library. Nothing. Zilch, nada. Everything says purchase or not available because he's currently online playing. And basically the gist of this new family sharing plan is I think you're going to be able to share it with up to 6 people or 5 additional people, yourself and 5 people. And whatever game you are not playing, so say he's online playing Fallout 3. I can't play Fallout 3, but I can play anything else in his library and vice versa. And I've always felt that that's exactly how it should work. This idea that we could share libraries, but I can't play anything that he's not playing is kind of ridiculous to me. And so I'm happy to hear that that's kind of getting rolled out. And we're gonna see the best of that. The other thing was Persona 6 being rumored to come to Xbox like as a day one launch, and one that's crazy because Persona is just coming to Xbox in the last year, and it's never been a day one launch title on Xbox. And so I think this is kind of like a big shift in not just Xbox's relationship with Atlus, but Xbox's relationship with Japanese game developers in general. And, you know, it's just a rumor, but it's not a far-fetched rumor, I believe. You know, when you got Persona 3 Reloaded launching day one on Game Pass, and then you also have its DLC that comes out, I think, later this year, that is coming day one on Game Pass. And it is not coming as, like, part of another service elsewhere. That is huge. And so I think that that speaks volumes to what Xbox's relationship currently is with Atlus. And last but not least, my Dragon's Dogma impressions. I don't want to get too deep because this is just impressions. I've got 30 hours, a little over 30 hours in Dragon's Dogma. And oh my mother fudging God, that game is so good. So good. Maybe asking yourself, if it's so good, why am I still not playing it? My undiagnosed ADHD does not let me play games for that long. If I buy a new game, and this is kind of part of the reason why I don't want to buy new games anymore. If I buy a new game and it isn't something that is really grabbing me, like a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or a Dragon's Dogma that got 30 hours out of me, which is surprising, I'm putting in about 8 to 10 and I'm putting it down. One that comes to mind is like Horizon Forbidden West and Horizon Zero Dawn. When I picked up those games, really great games. I ended up loving them. Loved the combat in Forbidden West too. But it wasn't like my favorite of all time. And so I'm going to put in 8 to 10 hours and then I'm going to put it down. Dragon's Dogma got 30 hours out of me, which speaks volumes in how much I enjoyed that game. The combat is so good. So good. Having multiple vocations and being able to switch what the vocations are classes, if you don't know. But being able to get different vocations, to be able to switch them, not necessarily on the fly, but not too difficult either. You go to town, you go to one of the vocation guilds, and you can change your vocation. And the pawn system is what really sold me on this game. You got your main pawn, which is sort of your main character that stays with you all the time, levels up with you. You can change their class, give them armor, yada yada. Love that system. And so, like, you know, you'll have your vocation, they'll have their vocation. You can sort of try to make sure that your vocations play well together. And then you can go get two vocations from anyone online, get them from just random NPCs that are walking the world. And they're like, yeah, you know what? You want to hire me? Like, you know, they'll say something funny that kind of stems off of their personality type that you can choose for your own pawn. Or you can pull a friend's pawn. And I feel like that's the mechanic that really drew me in on the game. Other than just like the open world being massively engaging in a way of like, you don't know who is somebody important. Remember, I was shopping at a shop and there's just somebody standing right behind me, like where, like, you know, the shop's right here. Somebody's behind me. And I just randomly talked to that guy and he has a quest. There's like nothing telling you that this guy would give you a quest. And that's how immersive the game is. Like, you really got to get into it for it to open up for you. And so, like, I felt very immersed playing that game. But the pawn system, being able to, like, pull my friend's pawns and us basically share pawns, it added that layer of, like, us being connected while we were playing that game together. Where it was like, yo, like, I would tell my friends, like, yo, I just swapped my pawn's vocation and I got a higher level, just so y'all know. So if y'all want to swap it out, and, you know, and vice versa. And so I'd know, all right, cool, let me go to the Rift, let me swap them out. It was just awesome. It was just great, great. And so my impressions of it so far are amazing. I feel like I'll get back to it in like maybe a month or so. I just needed a break from it, as good as it is. But that's me with any game. I beat Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but even by the end of Rebirth, I was like, yo, I'm getting kind of exhausted. I really got to get through this before I see spoilers. And that's pretty much the only reason I beat it, because I didn't want to come across spoilers. And so when I beat that game, I'll hopefully do a review for it, but that's a ways out. But my impressions so far are, you need to go play Dragon's Dogma 2. What an incredible game. And I will say, it is massively unforgiving. That is not a game for the lighthearted, and not in a way that like a Soulsborne game like Elden Ring or Dark Souls is unforgiving. The combat isn't so difficult, but like the save system is unforgiving. Some of those battles are very, very challenging, and they are Souls-like in sense of like, yeah, they're kind of difficult. You know, they're not gonna beat your ass, or like, you know, there's sort of a greater window for error than in like a Soulsborne game. But it is unforgiving. The game is going to challenge you. And all I gotta say is make sure you save at inns very often. Because your regular save and your in save are not the same save. Please don't make that mistake and lose out on hours of gameplay. It didn't happen to me because I'd already read about it online, and so I didn't get caught up in that mess, but I know a couple people that did, and that sucks. And so, yeah, that covers what I would have talked about a few weeks ago on the episode that would have aired 3 weeks ago, episode 3. So this is now the real episode 3. And I guess I kind of want to jump into Hellblade 2. Hellblade 2 didn't get a new trailer. If I'm not mistaken, it wasn't a new trailer. It's just kind of just news coming out about the game. The game's supposed to come out next month. If I Google that really quickly. I am very, very, very excited for Hellblade 2. Yeah, May 21st is supposed to come out. So about a month from next week. Wow, 5 weeks from now. We got some news earlier this week. I guess some outlets got previews of the game, I think we did get a trailer because Digital Foundry commented on a recent trailer. I'm not watching trailers. You might be wondering, so why didn't you watch the trailer? I'm not watching trailers for it. I know I want to play this game, and when I know I want to play a game, I don't need to see anything more about it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to have the story ruined for me. A lot of what made the first Hellblade great was the story, on top of the puzzling, on top of the, you know, as sort of one-dimensional as the combat was very fun. I love a good parry mechanic. And also the audio in that game was absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And so we got some news about Hellblade. I think this is beginning that marketing rollout, 6 weeks, 5 weeks out from the launch of the game. And I guess the big news that was coming out is that the game is going to be 30 frames per second. I don't want to focus too much on that. I think the big thing about this is from early previews and from Digital Foundry just analyzing the latest trailer of the game, this is looking like it is going to be a powerhouse. Like, it is going to be, I think it's going to set the standard of what graphic fidelity on a gaming console can be. I mean, you know, if you've seen any of the trailers so far from Game Awards and things of that nature, that game looks stunning. Like, in fucking credible. I can't believe a game can look that good. And I'm not even a graphics guy. I actually hate how much we focus on graphics today. But that's another conversation for another day. I am very, very excited to see how far they've been able to push the boundaries of graphic fidelity on consoles. And I'm even more excited to see it on a computer because the boundaries are even wider. And so I'm wondering how it's going to look in true 4K. I forget who came out and said this, because I don't have the... Do I have the article open? Yes. I'm pulling this from an article on WCCFtech.com. It says, Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 will only run at 30 frames per second on Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S. Ninja Theory confirmed. Speaking with German publication GamePro, the game's VFX director, Mark Slater Tunstall, confirmed that the game will only run at 30 frames per second and with dynamic resolution scaling on Xbox Series X and S. While this is extremely disappointing, the 30 FPS cap seems to be the price to pay for the game's stunning visuals, although Slater Tunstall feels it will make the experience more cinematic. And he has a quote. The quote's not here, but he basically said that he wants the game to feel more cinematic. Like, if you don't know, movies are shot at 24 frames per second. And that's what gives movies that feeling that it has. If you watched a movie at 60 frames per second, I promise you, it would actually look very jarring. It actually wouldn't look good to you. I've seen like some shots of a movie in 60 frames versus the 24 frames it's supposed to be seen in, and I can't say that 60 frames actually looks better. And so whether this comment is sort of just PR fluff to sort of combat the comments that eventually came of like, wow, this game is only 30 frames per second. There's no performance mode. Like, what the fuck? So on and so forth. I gotta respect that the dev has a vision, and their vision is, we want the game to look like this, and so this is how you're gonna play the game. And I could see how a boutique studio that only has about 80 employees that is trying to push the boundaries of graphic fidelity for consoles is like, listen, we made this game to be played at 4K with dynamic resolution scaling, which basically means at points where the game would dip under 30 frames to stay at 4K, the resolution's probably gonna dip. And I'm wondering how apparent that's going to be along the way. But I imagine I'm hoping that it's gonna be a smooth enough experience. If we can get a locked 30 frames across the board, I'm okay with dynamic resolution scaling. But I think, like, you know, the thing that sticks out about this for me, especially with some people being upset about it only being 30 frames per second and all that, is like, I really hope people can understand that for $500, you cannot have your cake and eat it. And what I mean by that is, like, for $500, you cannot have a game be 4K and play it at 60 frames. You know, like, you know, I mentioned earlier that there's a PS5 Pro rumor floating about. And a lot of the conversation around that is people think that they're going to be playing games at 4K, 60 frames on a PS5 Pro. Like, people think that the Pro is coming so that we can have 4K, 60 frames. I hope people realize you're not getting that. You're not getting 4K, 60 frames. The PS5 Pro won't even cost as much as the graphics card you need for a PC to run 4K 60 frames. That graphics card for a PC costs $1,000+. What makes you think that a console is gonna do that? And even PCs have trouble doing that. You need like technology like DLSS, which is like AI frame generating technology for you to even get native 4K to appear at 60 frames per second or better for like these really graphically intensive games. Once you get in shadows and ray tracing and all this nonsense that games have now. And I say nonsense because I really do feel like we're spending way too much horsepower on graphics and not enough of it focused on like AI in video games and mechanics and systems and games working better and well. And like, you know, I think about how disappointed people were when Cyberpunk released and how it wasn't the game that they imagined and the game that they wanted. Well, you know what? I guarantee you that the reason it wasn't the game you wanted is because they started focusing heavily on making that the best looking video game released at the time. How much of that manpower had to go from developing great AI systems, a world that lives on its own, to making sure that the ray tracing was incredible, to making sure that this looked as good as it looked, and so on and so forth. And so they couldn't make the game that they wanted to make. And that's disappointing. So, you know, when I see all this Hellblade 2 stuff, I just hope more people come to terms with that. Like, for $500, you're not getting 4K and 60 frames. You're going to get 4K and 30. And I guess on some angle, it kind of does suck that this game doesn't have a performance mode. But if the main point of this game, which is also only going to be like a 10-hour experience from start to finish, which they've also confirmed, if they want this to be a movie-like, highly graphic, fidelic experience, then I don't see why they need to put a performance mode. You know, I know that like some of it is a greater a greater disappointment around a lot of Xbox games not having 60 frames per second modes, like Starfield, Redfall, which released last year, day one without a 60 frames mode, after they said it was going to release with a 60 frames mode. So I can understand that greater umbrella disappointment, but just as this game, looking at this game for what it is and as a single item, I can't be upset at developers saying, this is our vision, and our vision was to create the best looking game ever made, so to speak. And you're going to have to play that at 30 frames because that's the cost. And there's no word on whether or not it's capped at 30 for PC. I doubt it is. But I think that if you're going to want to play it at 4K at higher than 30 frames, you're going to need quite the beast of a computer to do that. I don't think my computer is good enough to do that. I think I'll be happy playing it at 4K 30, to be quite honest with you, on my PC or on my Xbox, whatever. I'm not impartial to that. I'm also not one of these people that think 30 frames per second is unplayable. That's a joke. I think that some games warrant being played over 30 frames, like shooters, action games, things of that nature. But 30 frames by no measure is unplayable. And I really hope that people can get off that bandwagon. And so that's really all I got to say about Hellblade 2. Again, I haven't watched any recent stuff. I haven't read anything other than this news because I don't want to know anymore. I'm very, very, very excited for Hellblade 2. It was one of my favorite games from Xbox last generation. It is such a good game. If you haven't played Hellblade 1, please go play that. Please go play that and play it with headphones. It is a must-play game with headphones. You do not play this game without headphones. Not on your TV. I have a surround sound in the living room, and I don't even think that's going to be good enough. I think I'm going to have to play this game with headphones. I'm going to try it just to see how it sounds. Because I got a nice surround sound. So let's see how it sounds. But I think that headphones are really going to do it justice. Especially so you can just cut out the outside world. Like the Dominicans who are outside playing Dembo right now, who I can hear. And I'm hoping that when I replay this audio later, I can't hear them. Because if I can... If you don't know, I was recording our old podcast back in the day, and they were obnoxiously playing music outside. And after that episode was over, I put this big-ass DJ speaker. Actually, this is a new speaker. I got new speakers. But my old speaker, I put that bitch on the window, and I put that shit all the way up. And I blasted Skrillex and DMX at the loudest volume I could possibly play it at. And all I gotta say is they were not very happy about that. And I think that I'm gonna have to do that again to send a message this season because I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with this all summer. Anyways, that was a small rant. Let me move on. So that's Hellblade 2. Very excited. Hope you're excited too. Next thing I wanna talk about is something that's sort of piqued my interest recently because Been watching TV a little bit more these days. But that said, little interjection. If you're not watching X-Men 97, you need to go watch X-Men 97. What are you doing? Oh my God. That is TV, man. That is cinema. Holy shit. It's not cinema because it's not a movie, but cinema. Oh my God. Wow, what a show. Please go watch that show. Please, 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 please do yourself the justice and go watch that show. But speaking of another show, the Fallout TV series released last night or the night before. I think it was the night before because I woke up yesterday to a bunch of people saying that they had already watched the whole thing. So if you don't know, the Fallout series is based on a very, very, very popular game series, which I was just talking about earlier. Fallout 1, 2, 3, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, Fallout 76. There's a whole slew of them. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, from the wider consensus, Fallout 3 is the most popular. People widely regard that as the best one. Fallout New Vegas is right behind it. And then Fallout 4 kind of falls right behind that one. And then Fallout 76, which is sort of like their online game that came out... Ooh, excuse me. Came out very, very flat. Is doing a whole lot better now. I've, with the news of the show coming out, a lot of people are like, hey, You should go play that if you haven't played it. Like, if you've never played it, definitely go play it. And if you played it from the beginning, you might want to come back and see what's changed, because the game is much better than it used to be, which is very great to hear. Everybody, every game's getting its oh my god, what is this game? No Man's Sky. Everybody, every game's getting its No Man's Sky moment, and I love that. I love that for gaming. But the Fallout TV series, I'm gonna just read the description of the show. Fallout Season 1, based on one of the greatest video game series of all time. That's not an understatement. Fallout is the story of haves and have-nots in a world in which there's almost nothing left to have. 200 years after the apocalypse, a peaceful denizen from a cozy Fallout shelter is forced to return to the surface and is shocked to discover the wasteland waiting for her. You know, I really like that they went with a female protagonist in this show. Too many male protagonists in the show. And I feel like, you know, especially when you think about like the pet boy and stuff like that from the show, it's very, in some ways I feel like it's very male driven. And so I'm really happy to see that they took the direction of having a female protagonist with the show. That's awesome. I haven't watched the show, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. I want to put in about 10 hours into Fallout 3. I want to get to know the world a little bit, understand its lore, so that when I see certain things in the show, I'm like, ooh, I'm that Leonardo DiCaprio meme. Ooh, ooh, yeah, I know that. I know him. I know that. And just so everybody knows, if I'm not mistaken, this is a story completely separate from the video games. This is its own unique story. It's just very much pulled from the world of Fallout. And so the episodes dropped. They like moved the launch date forward for the show, which I've never seen before. I guess they got so much raving review and acclaim for the show when they gave some folks previews. Shout out to Danny Pena, who was in New York a few weeks ago, about like 2 weeks ago, doing some interviews of actors from the show. He was in New York doing a little bit of work. You should go check out those interviews. I'll actually look up the link and I'll post it in the description of this episode if you want to check those out. But he was here. Shout out to him. I got to see him. And he told me that he saw the first couple of episodes. He didn't tell me anything about him, but he told me he saw the first couple of episodes and that it was really good. Like, it was very, very good. And he was really excited to see the rest. And so that was already like a good, okay, all right, cool. Like, it's got some love. And I guess he wasn't the only one who thought it was a great show. And so I guess with the press acclaim for the show, they were like, yo, let's move the release day of the show up. And then they were like, you know what? Let's move it up again. I forget what the first one was, but it was originally supposed to be April 11th, which was yesterday. And then they moved it up to like April 10th, 6 p.m. Pacific time, which was like 9 p.m. Eastern time, just before the 11th. But still, if you want to binge it, that gave you enough time to binge it, basically, especially for the West Coast. Start at 6, you could have watched the whole show and been done by like 2, 3 a.m. That's light. That's light, especially if you digging deep into it. You don't got too much work to do in the morning. Maybe you could get into work a little late. Okay, I see them. But the acclaim has been insane. I'm trying to stay away off the timeline because everybody is talking about it. Everybody's like, oh man, I finished the show. It's so good. I'm 5 episodes in. Can't believe this. Loving this character. Yada, yada. So I got to spend the rest of my week dodging bullets on social media. But the show is currently sitting at a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is really good. Really, really good. I think it's like an 87% user rating. But 93% from critic rating is very, very good. And people all around the gaming industry are saying that this is the best video game adaptation by far. And a lot of people are saying it's even better than The Last of Us. And you know, for some people who are going to say The Last of Us is a better show, I can respect that. But I think two things can be true. I think that The Last of Us can be a better show, while Fallout is a better video game adaptation. You know, I played The Last of Us pretty late. I think I played part one in 2021 for the first time, 2020, 2021. I tried to play it a few times, and it just didn't stick with me. And I eventually played it in 21, and I stuck through, and I played it, and I loved it. And I feel like people have a little too much reverence for that game. For me, it's just a good story, but it's not the best video game story I've ever played. It's just a very great regular story. And so when I think about video game adaptation, The Last of Us, the TV show, is just a really great story. Like, there's nothing very video gamey about it. There's nothing, like, very unrealistic about it. And so I can see how, and nothing other than, oh, I know that character. Oh, I remember this part in the game. Other than that, there was nothing very video gamey about the show. Whereas I can see how in a Fallout, you know, I'll see it eventually, and I'll give my impressions then. But I can see how a game like Fallout that is very unrealistic. This is the apocalypse of the world, and seen in a lens that is kind of crazy. You know, the kind of people that end up existing in that world, the structure of like who you are and what you do and how you can be combative and stuff like that. That is very video gamey. And so the way you level up and get new skills and things of that nature, that is very video gamey. And so I can see how if the show adapts a lot of that, that despite The Last of Us maybe being a better show, that Fallout is a better video game adaptation. At least that's my perspective when I'm seeing people say that. I'm like, all right, like it's better than The Last of Us because The Last of Us was good. You know, like my son Pedro Pascal, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know? And the episode with the gay couple, names are Bob, I think one of the characters is Bob, right? That is like one of the greatest TV episodes I've ever seen in my life. Bar none, like it's up there. And so for it to be better than The Last of Us, this show gotta be good. A better video game adaptation, I don't even think it has to do much to be that more than The Last of Us is. If that makes any sense. So I don't want to get too much in the weeds of that because obviously I haven't seen the show. Can't wait to watch it. Hopefully by the end of the week I put in enough time in Fallout 3 where I feel comfortable watching a couple of episodes of the show. So if you don't care about any of that, if you've already played the game and you haven't watched the show, I'd say go watch that show because everybody is apparently very much in love with it. And I guess the other Fallout news that came out alongside the show is Fallout 4 got a next-gen update. Fallout 4 came out a while ago. It's been quite a few years. I wouldn't be surprised if we're nearing 7, 8, even 10 years on that game being out. You know what? Why not? Let's look it up. November 10, 2015. Yo, it's been almost 9 years since that game's come out. And so it's got a next-gen update. I just gotta say, can we stop saying next-gen? We have been in the current generation of gaming for like 4 years now. Like, we're done. This is not next-gen anymore. This is current-gen, period. So it just got a current-gen update. So that it looks good on PS5, it looks great on Xbox Series X, and some, you know, just to list off some of the things that came with the update. The update is releasing on April 25th, and it's going to add new features like 60 frames per second mode, a higher resolution and quality for a quality mode. It's going to come with stability improvements and fixes. It's going to be Steam Deck verified. Ooh, y'all already know where I'm copping Fallout 4. And in other news, like PS4 and Xbox One are also getting some stability updates. The game is also coming to the Epic Store, which it wasn't on the Epic Store before. And for PC exclusively, it's getting widescreen and ultra widescreen support too. And so, I don't know. They're bringing Fallout to the current gen, which is awesome. You love to see it. Especially for a franchise as beloved as Fallout 4. I know this is something that fan base has been talking about for several years now. Like, all right, cool. We got a PS5. We got an Xbox Series X. PCs are, you know, always pushing the boundaries of tech and stuff like that. Where the hell is this update for this game? And they're finally getting it in about 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from yesterday, which is awesome, actually. And for somebody like myself who's playing through a very janky Fallout 3, I'm enjoying it. I'm really loving it. I was talking to a friend who played that game when it released and loved it. He was like, yo, how's the graphics holding up? And I'm like, the graphics are fine, because I'm not like a graphics whore, so I don't really care like that. But I was like, Fallout 3 is janky. The shooting is some of the worst shooting I've experienced in a video game. Don't get me wrong, I don't think the game was made to be a great shooter. But as somebody who's played Bethesda's most recent game in Starfield, and how great the shooting is in that game, let me just say they have come a long way. They've come a long way. And so, happy to see the Fallout 4 got a current-gen update, especially for somebody who hasn't played the game. If I'm not mistaken, I feel like I bought it for something, and I played a few hours of it, and I was like, man, that's sticking with me right now. I got other stuff to play. I gotta look through my libraries, because I really do feel like I own Fallout 4 somewhere, actually. So if you already own Fallout 4 and you want to get back to it, or you want to replay it again, you got a good reason to play it again. And if you haven't played it, you got a good reason to play it, period. And that's that on that for Fallout news right now. Fallout's been doing their thing. I like that. Bethesda's doing their thing. And if I'm not mistaken, it's just a small tidbit of news I saw on my Twitter feed that the Todd Howard said that they are not going to make an Elder Scrolls TV show. Which I don't even know if I want. Like, you know, I think like the idea of like a Fallout TV show being out makes you think like, oh wow, Elder Scrolls? But I don't know if at any point in time anyone was wondering to themselves, hey, when are we going to get an Elder Scrolls television show? Because I'm not. And the fact that he said that one's not coming, I can't say I really care. And so that's that on that. Shout out to Fallout. Can't wait to watch the show, and can't wait to play Fallout 4, and can't wait to skip more hours into Fallout 3. And I guess last but not least on my list of things to talk about today, because I don't want to drag this episode on too much longer, is Star Wars Outlaw got a new trailer. And so Star Wars Outlaw is a new Star Wars game being made by Ubisoft, specifically being made by Massive, which is the studio that makes The Division. I love The Division. I just need to say that. So though I'm not a big Star Wars fan, I did play Jedi Survivor, and I've been playing that series. I played both games, and I love them. I like Star Wars. I'm just not a massive Star Wars fan like some people are. I am very much looking forward to Star Wars Outlaws. Like, very, very, very much looking forward to it, specifically because it's being made by the studio. And so they got a trailer earlier this week, a new trailer. And there's just been some buzz about the game. The trailer looks great overall. There's my notes. I'm like, yo, where are the rest of my notes? I feel like I typed more notes on this. So we definitely got to, I feel like the date was already confirmed before, but we got a, or no, I think the window was confirmed. We got a release date of August 30th. Here's the interesting tidbit. You can get early access starting August 27th, which is a new thing that's happening with games now, which comes with, if I'm not mistaken, the $110 and $130 versions of the game. Who the f- $130 for a game, bro? Just for it to come with some extra skins and a gun that you can get later on in the game, and you can play 3 days early? $130? Oh my god. That's one of the pieces of news coming around the game, other than it just looking great and the trailer looking great. And it was a story trailer. It was the first story trailer for the game. So we also got to see what the story is going to be about. And from what I could tell, it's, you know, there's a big sort of mob boss, if we'll call him. And he's got like his organization groups underneath him that, you know, that follow him and do his bidding, so to speak. And this outlaw, this main character, female protagonist, awesome, by the way, she basically does something that fucks with him. And she basically is now under his eyes. He's now coming after her. And she needs to build a team to sort of combat this thing that's happening. I don't want to get too into weeds. You need to go watch the trailer. But other than that news coming out, other than sort of the disdain for there being a $130 version of this game that comes with scraps and a 3-day early access for the game, this thing came up again, which I kind of talked about in my last episode around the Sweet Baby Inc. and gamers out there wanting there to be quote unquote beautiful women in games, subjectively beautiful women in video games. There's been a lot of hoopla and attacking towards this game for the main character being quote unquote ugly. And I will say, a lot of this is such garbage because if you look at the frame that they use, if you watch the trailer, that framing that they're using, saying that the character is ugly, that has a lot to do with how the shadowing looked at that moment in that trailer. And people were putting that like side by side with like the model that they used to scan for the main character. And they're like, oh, you know, she looks nothing like her. Yeah, but if you watch the trailer and a whole bunch of other scenes, she looks exactly like the model. Like, what are we talking about? She looks great. I'm so tired of hearing this like subjective bullshit around needing beautiful women in video games. Again, subjectively unrealistic, idealistic perspectives of what is beautiful in a woman. And it's getting super tiring. And it's growing more and more and more. And there's like this, there's this guy on Twitter, I think his name is Grums, who is like an old game dev that nobody in the industry respects because of how he left the game industry. It's just like, this is kind of like the last person anyone should be listening to or taking advice from, perspective from on the gaming industry because of his own industry, lackluster history in the industry. And so, I mentioned earlier of like Stellar Blade coming out next week. A lot of the hoopla around that game, something that also kind of turned me off about the game, not turned me off about the game, but just like, you know, when a game is coming out, a lot of the conversation and the buzz and stuff like that gets you really excited for the game. You know, like, oh man, like hearing about the systems, hearing about this, hearing about that. But in a big way, the conversation around Stellar Blade has just been about how overly sexualized the main character is, or how overly sexualized people online are making her. Like, don't get me wrong, you can tell that the devs like sought out to create a very sexy, voluptuous main character. Like, she is built that way. They are not hiding anything. Her titties jiggle in a certain way when she's walking up a ladder. Her butt sways a certain way when she's going up a ladder. They know what they're doing, 100%. But the constant conversation around that game and how this is what women in games should look like is so fucking annoying. And to be honest with you, it's kind of turned me off around the game in general. Like, I don't even want to hear about the game because 80% of what I've heard about the game has been that. And it's so disgusting. Just to even stem off of a little bit more about the Star Wars, it's just this week since that Star Wars conversation started, Fallout 4 is a female protagonist. The main poster of the game is her back is turned to you, and she's like walking, it's sort of like, I guess, depicting her walking out of the Fallout shelter. And so her back is to you, which means her ass is to you. And in her pants, you can't see it or anything like that. Her pants aren't shaped any kind of way or whatever. And somebody went out of their way to shape an ass and like make her legs more voluptuous and make the pants fit tighter and all that. And it was like, man, you know, we need more of this. And those tweets are getting thousands of likes and comments like, yeah, you know, like, the wokeisms are ruining video games and they're even ruining television shows, you see? And so on and so forth. Yo, what the fuck is going on with games right now, man? It's, I don't know, man. I don't really have too much to say, because what the hell is there to say? The shit is gross. And what's so ridiculous is, like, this I remember I tweeted at somebody like about a week and a half ago, because they were making a video about the whole Sweet Baby Ying thing and they were making a video about the Stellar Blade thing when the Stellar Blade conversation was hot. And I was like, wow, like, this is like, and he put, just like, previewed a thumbnail, and I was like, oh yeah, like, this is how you make content for men who are living in their mother's basements and have never spoken to a real woman in their life in a romantic way, because they keep idealizing what they think women should look like. And I can't believe, and I use the term unrealistic expectations. And I got a whole bunch of people in my comments about, like, what's unrealistic about this? She's modeled from a real person and so on and so forth. Like, yes, there are women who look like that. 100%. But I wonder how much people know that, like, half of that is genetics. Like, there is a massive group of women who cannot look like that. It's just physically impossible. They're never going to look like that because their bodies are not made to look like that. And that's okay. And even with men, like, there are some things that are like genetics. You know, like six packs? Not all of us can have a six pack. That is genetic. You have to genetically have a six pack. Some of us have a two pack. Some of us have a four pack. Some people have an eight pack. But that six pack shit, that's not for everybody. You having the V cuts on your legs, that's genetics. Not everybody can get that. You could try as hard as you want. You'll probably never have that if you're the body type that can't have that. So yes, for some people, that is actually unrealistic. And even if it is realistic for you, what are the things that you have to do to even attain a body like that? We've constantly heard stories from, like, models of, like, them starving themselves, developing eating disorders and things of that nature, like literally going into depression because of the things that they have to do to maintain this status quo of beauty so that they can keep their job, so they can continue living the life that they've established for themselves, because the life they got was through this subjective beauty that they have that is beautiful, but there are other forms of beautiful too. And that's what keeps getting lost in this. And I guess the reason why I hate seeing it the most is that the more these conversations surface, the more the average woman who doesn't look like the chick from Stellar Blade gets attacked by men in the streets, get harassed by men because they're this or they're that or they're not this or they're not that. That's disgusting to me. And I feel like these conversations only move the needle to fuel that anger, fuel that harassment by a bunch of dudes who would never in their life even get to talk to a Stellar Blade. You know what I mean? To get to talk to an Eve from Stellar Blade. They could only wish and they can only hope. And I feel like most of that pent up anger is because they know that. They've had an Eve from Stellar Blade at some point in their life, whether it was in middle school, elementary, high school, whatever. Look at them and be like, motherfucker, I'll never talk to you. What the hell? Why would a woman like me talk to you? And now they got this pent up anger. They still idealize that because that's what they want. But they got pent up anger against a whole bunch of other women that they don't even want, nor do they want them. It's so weird, man. I feel like more people need to go to therapy. As somebody who's going to therapy regularly and it's been doing me wonders, more people need to go to therapy. That's what I'm clearly seeing on my Twitter timeline. And so, man, that is so disappointing, man. It really, really is. And it sucks that I'm seeing another game with another female protagonist be looked at by a bunch of people who don't even have their own faces on their Twitter avi because they probably disgusting and ugly themselves going online and shitting on this game, talking about, damn, more ugly women in games, and blaming it on wokeisms, blaming it on DEI, blaming it on whatever the fuck they want to blame it on, that it isn't actually a valid reason to blame. That shit is garbage to me. It's so upsetting that this is such a big part of gaming conversation right now. Ugh. Again, the election year brings the worst out of people. It really, really does. Ugh, I need 2025 to come already. Hey, yo, pause. unless Donald Trump wins, just throw everything away. I don't even want to see 2025 if that happens, because this is going to be a disgusting time. With that note, go out and register to vote. Seriously. Anyways, y'all, that's all I got for you today. This episode is clocking in at an hour right now. Wow. Yeah, man, I don't really got nothing to say. I guess today's Friday. I'm gonna release this episode tomorrow morning, Saturday, and be on the lookout for that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth review, and look out for the new episode next week, because we're gonna get back on this weekly, man. We're gonna get back on this weekly. Not even back. This is only the third episode. I only did one episode after the intro episode, which was just an introduction. I haven't even done a back-to-back yet. So anyways, next week we're doing our first back-to-back. We're gonna get this back-to-back weeks going. And yeah, with that... oh man, I almost forgot my outro. With that, I hope you have a wonderful day, afternoon, evening, weekday, weekend, whenever and wherever you might be listening to this. And on that note, deuces.